comes down one more time to a kicker after all the battle that's been waged out here tonight.
As it so often does. 43-yard attempt from the right hash mark.
And, oh, he hits the upright again. That's impossible. And the Eagles run out onto the field, but there are still 5 seconds. So they've got to get back. He does it again.
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Sheesh. Wild indeed. Another wild card round weekend in the books now, and another crazy postseason play. I said it on Sunday night, and I'll say it again now. It is fully bizarre that in the NFL, and only in the NFL, can you watch postseason games. And in every single round, and in, I think, it feels like, anecdotally at least, every year, something happens in a game, in a critical moment, no less, that you've never seen in your life. You could watch football for 30 or 50 years, and you'll never... I've never seen that happen, it happens every playoff round, every year.
That's the greatness of the game, though.
It's crazy. Hi and hello, and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, presented by Head & Shoulders. What a weekend it was. We're going to review it for you and also project ahead a bit. The man whose voice you just heard, he's seated to my immediate left here in Studio 66. He is the mean-spirited older brother of the mean-spirited Derek Carr, who senselessly beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, essentially eliminating them from the playoffs about a month or 6 weeks ago. But because I'm such a big-hearted soul, I still am willing to kibitz with him here in Studio 66. It's David Carr. What's the poop, fella?
Every time I hear the football David, I get really excited.
And then it says
Dave Dameshek, and I kind of lose it. But
well, okay.
But for a minute, I feel like it was my song.
It was
right? Like, you played it for me, and I'm like,
I see.
Every time there's a little bit of me that was like, that's for me. No, it's not.
That would be a good thing. Like, maybe we could do that for Derek if Derek would be willing to, you know what?
To throw the next game.
Maybe by not throw the next game. I wouldn't want him to do that.
Yeah.
But I would like him to, maybe we, if we have time here after we get through the wild card, we can hammer out a deal between the three of us for Antonio Brown, because the word is that he's on the trade block, and I think Derek would really like to have the best wide receiver of the 21st century.
I know for a fact Derek would love to have the best wide receiver.
You know it for a fact.
I do, yeah.
You've spoken with him about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what if you say, like, are you going to get in Gruden's ear and ask him?
I don't know if that's going to happen. I mean, I feel like that would just be the natural for John and for the San Francisco 49ers, for any team out there that needs a number one guy. I think that would be natural for them to pick the phone call. You know, hey,
I don't like jive. You know, the sign hangs right there on the door, Carr. Let's shoot straight here.
Yeah. I'll shoot straight with you.
Have you heard from Derek, or will you just go right past the little brother? You have the key card to the Raiders facility.
Yeah.
You probably have John Gruden's direct phone number. Will you, or will Derek, or are you aware of anyone in the Raiders organization saying, hey, let's get in touch with Kevin Colbert over there on the banks of the Three Rivers and see if we can work something out by March?
I will say that I know for a fact that Derek and Antonio have a good relationship.
Oh.
They've played in the Pro Bowl together a couple times. He loves him, and I don't think there'd be any reason why that wouldn't happen. So I think whether it happens from Derek or me or through Mike Mayock or whatever however it looks.
Oh, yeah, I'm forgetting Mayock.
Someone needs to
make... He's got ties back to Pittsburgh. This is all perfect.
Someone needs to make it. Make the phone call and see what happens.
All right. Well, maybe we'll have
you
time.
You got 9 first-round picks. I mean, how many do they want?
That's right.
Figure it out.
Yeah, it's getting silly. All right, yeah, we'll see if we can return to that, because I really am continue to be intrigued by what goes on the banks of the Three Rivers, all the finger-pointing, national versus local reporters. There seems to be a disagreement who's at fault there.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the wild card round, the 12 teams that are still around, and then we'll try and service the rest here. Let's start it off with, we heard that Cody Parkey kick, heartbreaker first of all. It's weird that there are that many people in our society that can still generate that much hate. I get it if you're a Bears fan, you're
crazy.
Devastated, but direct your to one rage guy. Kicker guy is weird.
That's where we live. Yeah, it has to be someone's fault, right? So it's the last person. So he doinked off the bar, and now it's Cody Parkey. He's gonna be our guy that we're gonna direct. No, I mean, there had many times throughout that game where they could have won the football game. Every player has a play they could have done and played differently. I guarantee you go to every guy, they'd be like, I could have done that differently. Well, okay, so his just happened to be the last one. And it got tipped. Like, the NFL just changed it to a blocked field goal. So
that's official now.
It's official, a blocked field goal.
Why hasn't Chris Long tweeted that out on Sunday night? Why didn't the guy who blocked it on the Eagle say, yeah, that tipped my hand.
He finally did. They cornered him. They said, that was your white glove. So then they came, they found him, and he's like, did you tip? And he's like, yeah, I didn't think I got enough of it, though. That's what he said. But it's still like everybody wants to hate on Cody Parkey. I'm like,
which guy was it?
I can't remember the kid. You can look it up.
Stop yelling at poor Cody Parkey, everybody. I deflected that ball. Hero, by the way.
Yeah, I think that's the other part of it, right? Like, I did this. Like, usually that guy like runs around and like circles and you're like, oh, he must have blocked it.
Yeah, more hockey D-linemen. Right. When those guys tip the puck in front of the goal, they make it very clear. To everyone
that
in the arena, the way they react when the defenseman shoots it in clean when they deflect it imperceptible to the eye. They make it quite clear to everybody.
A little stick flip. Yeah, I got a piece of that puck. I don't know if you know that. It goes on my stat sheet.
I don't know what goes on in the head of some people. Why is that guy not making himself into the hero of the city of brotherly love today?
It's a team game. That's why. Philadelphia Eagles team sport.
Pshaw. Now, so let's work back to front. The first thing that struck me about the Parkey kick was along the same thing as, I guess, the David Tyree catch could fit into this. The Antonio Freeman, you remember the overtime game in Lambeau where the ball hits his bum and hits the other guy and comes back and he gets it. He gets up and runs in.
Right.
And Jermaine Kearse's catch in the last minute against the Patriots in Super Bowl 49.
That was pretty good.
The thing that occurs to me about all those plays is you could go outside and say, like, okay, now you have 5,000 more tries to do that again. Do it again, or else the play can't stand.
It's not happening.
Cody Parkey could never do
Julian
that.
Edelman
if he
in the
to.
Super Bowl. Like, you,
yes,
the
that's
catch
a perfect
and
one.
The, off the
do
man.
It again.
No way.
You could never replicate that.
That's why it's
that.
So great, because you're never going to see those plays again. You'll never see another play exactly like David Tyree's catch in that scenario.
Speaking of never, I'm sure a lot of people made deals with the devil in Philadelphia just before the game and during the during Super Bowl 52, watching them. This can't happen. We're going to – wait, Nick Foles is going to might beat the Patriots? Wait, please just give me this one. Please give me this one. I'll never ask for anything in sports
again. But then here
it
comes again.
And now it's happening again, and all of Philadelphia rejoices except for, possibly at least, number 11, the would-be franchise.
You think it's that point?
I mean, when they're doing the cutaways poor Carson Wentz, isn't he?
It's the most awkward position in sports at that moment because, and I've been there on both sides.
You have?
Yeah, I was.
I want to hear it. That's why I bring it up.
In San Francisco,
hear what that's like.
I was there for a year in between New York Times, and we had Mike Singletary, and it was a train wreck. The entire thing was a disaster. And Alex Smith is trying to play on a Sunday night game, and he comes out, and he doesn't play great. We were terrible on offense. And I'm watching it like, I'm glad I'm not in there right now. And everyone starts, we want Carr. And I'm just like, come on. The entire stands, like, you're 100 miles from where I played college football in Fresno. So, of course, that's what it is. And I'm like, and so he pulls Alex. And then before they go back out on the field, he puts him back in. And it was just this whole disaster. But it's such a weird dynamic because you're happy for your teammates. You're happy for your buddy. I'm good friends with Alex. I love that he was having success. But at the same time, you're like, wait, but if he has success, that means I'm not going to get to play. So it's a weird human dynamic to
out. The cutaways, MVP,
and they're
by the
two
way,
of the best guys, by the way. Nick and Carson, you can't get better guys. Like,
put a pin in off-season stories with David Carr, the Singletary season in 49.
Oh,
I want to hear more about that. That's
write a
terrific.
Book about that.
No. Maybe you should. Maybe or should. Perhaps we'll create an audio book for people
I like
to
that
consume.
Better. Yeah.
I buy the Carson Wentz because when they cut to him after the touchdown, the go-ahead touchdown, Wentz is laughing it up, smiling.
That's your first go-to. It's like it's the nervous laugh. You know, like when you're like, that's kind of what it is.
Deep down. How can you not, if you're a human being, especially a competitive one, and a recurring point for me is with everybody dealing with, whether it's Antonio Brown right now or Ben Roethlisberger, people who are hitting me up from Pittsburgh, they're competitive human beings. Uber competitive guys.
Yeah.
Yes. They, yeah. You know, growing up in the neighborhood, we've talked about this before, you and me, Carr. Mm-hmm. You know the guy in the neighborhood, and you might be this guy in yours, but the guy who like you strike him out and you start to tease him like that was my way. You know, Damashek would bring the hook, you know, bring Uncle Charlie from the left side. There's nothing
12 to 6.
David Bender, who, you know, he was in the neighborhood. He was the best athlete in the neighborhood, but I'd K him and then I'd give him the business for it. And then he'd throw the bat down and he'd go home.
And that was it.
That would be it. They'd be like, what kind of creep are you, man? You can't leave. You can't quit the game
can't quit the game.
Can't walk away.
It's not okay.
Unacceptable.
Yeah, you can't leave.
So that's that, and that describes 99% of professional athletes. Has that been your experience? I mean, there's in a bluest of blue moons, is there a guy who actually doesn't care as long as the team wins?
I think that's never happened. Maybe there's a guy that just doesn't care as long as the team wins, but
because he likes his money. But I mean, I'm talking
about. But even that affects your money, because that's like what Nick Foles is doing is directly affecting Carson Wentz's value to the team. Would you not agree?
I mean, of course.
He could go somewhere else. I mean, he's not going to give him $150 million. We got Nick Foles right here. He'll do it for
He's either not a paying attention, or part of him at least is dying on the inside as he watches.
Absolutely.
Nick Foles.
100%.
Play hero.
Because they're already talking about it. Like, we have to talk about it today. It's like, okay, so is Nick Foles the long-term solution?
Are you
kidding me?
I see. This is why people need to listen more and pay closer attention and spread the good word of the DDFP. Because I sat here a month ago and told everybody. Everybody laughed. Not even outwardly.
Don't laugh at Dave.
Behind the glass, Eddie Spaghetti laughed along with his fancy friend Handsome Hank. Like, that'll never happen. That'll never happen. I said, if he wins 3 games and gets that team to the playoffs, and then I said, what if he wins a playoff game?
I know.
In a big spot. What if he goes on the road? Then people in Philadelphia will definitely be talking about, maybe we got to get rid of Wentz. And here we are. Do you wish to apologize formally, Eddie Spaghetti?
I'm not going to lie. I'm going to say, if he somehow goes down into New Orleans.
No. It's enough now. He's won.
I don't know about that.
He put them into the playoffs when they weren't in.
It's enough to get rid of your 23, 24-year-old like stud franchise quarterback who
would
have won MVP.
I'm with you, Eddie. It sounds crazy, but would you now say something else crazy happens, like happened last year? Would you ship a 2-time Super Bowl MVP out the door?
No.
Thanks, man.
Crazy has already happened. Crazy, he won the last 3 games of the season.
I'm with David. If he wins again and wins the MVP again, then it's a totally different ball game. But if they get housed in New Orleans, then it's fine.
Which could very easily happen.
Sure.
Maybe they will. I think it's already done, and Carson Wentz surely is watching there like, oh, yay, Nick, what a hero. Yeah. Yay, fella.
Much study time is Carson really, you know, putting into the team?
Can I tell you one more thing about it, too? This is worse than last year already, because Carson Wentz, when he broke his leg, was...
He was the MVP.
He was a martyr. Right. Yeah. Oh, we got to do it for Carson. He would have been the MVP. Yeah. This is unjust.
That's a good point, because already you get the feeling like guys are like, oh, we got Nick.
Then Nick Foles, the mystique rubs off in September when you see Foles. Like, okay, he can't sustain this.
Right.
We saw him early in the year. This is an unsustainable operation with Nick Foles. We got to get our guy back. Then Wentz comes back and plays pretty well here and there. Not always, though. Not consistently. He's obviously the much greater specimen, but he is not. But performance week in, week out was not as good as Nick Foles in the last 3 weeks or against the best scoring defense in pro football on Sunday night with all the eyes of Football America upon him. Carson Wentz must just be sick. Like, oh, geez, that guy's doing better in the exact same system than I did this year.
It's really interesting. And it's even the interesting part is like Alshon Jeffrey and some of his comments and some of his targets. He gets a ton of targets from Nick and a ton of, you know, chances. But it's like, man, I'm just happy that I got Nick out here. You know, you're like, what? You got a pretty good one over here in 11, but it's an interesting
dynamic. The other thing I don't hear, Spaghetti, is I don't hear a ton of guys. Listen, they're on a playoff run. That would be distracting and weird to be consumed by this if you're a reporter rather than focusing on the deeds of the game. However, it seems fairly clear to me that everybody gets that Howie Roseman, I just get the vibe off of him. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Doug Peterson. We got to keep Wentz because that is the logical thing to do. But the fact of the matter is Foles runs our system better than the kid does.
Yeah.
He just is better at the trigger than the kid is right
now. Yeah, and that happens a lot of times. Honestly, with veteran quarterbacks that are on the same squad as a young quarterback, I've seen it forever. Guys, Matt Hasselbeck would go in and play for guys. You know, like when he went in for Andrew Luck a couple years ago. Oh, should Matt Hasselbeck be our guy? No, Matt's just 12 years older, and so he has that understanding of the game that maybe Andrew doesn't have yet. So then I look at Andrew now. There's no way you'd trade Matt Hasselbeck on TV for Andrew Luck, who's playing. You know what I'm saying? So there's that element of it. So I think there's cooler heads will prevail, and they'll understand that Carson's the guy. And I think Eddie's probably onto something. They probably are going to get rolled in New Orleans. They're probably going to get rolled.
Unless his back is really screwed up. That's like the one weird thing.
Yeah, exactly.
If you have like back issues, like you're not going to fix those, and that's the one time I get to say, okay, maybe you can move on from them. But then you have to also think about like the money it's going to cost you to roster two of those quarterbacks if you keep Foles long-term. Foles also struggled a couple games earlier this year. I mean, I don't know. I just can't see why they traded up for Wentz. Like, it doesn't make any sense to move that guy. And then you have an older Foles and say he's such a struggle. Wentz goes to somewhere else.
Do me a favor, though, and look up the one caveat to what you threw out there is look up how old Carson Wentz is.
He just turned 26.
26. Foles is 29. It's not like they're two generations.
No, I understand that, but it's still
the same guy.
3 years is still a lot, and you have Wentz for another decade. It's just, I don't know. I don't see.
As long as you pony up $30 million for him, you have him.
Mm. And what's it do to your team?
Interesting. In the meantime, now let's, that's not properly Beltway Philadelphia. I get confused by what, that's DC and Baltimore, but okay, let's travel to Charm City now, shall we? 2 weeks after Lamar Jackson and company paid a visit to Carson, California, the Chargers returned the favor and made their way to Baltimore and flipped the script. I said 20-19 in a tough one. That's not hard to do to make that pick because no matter who's playing the Ravens with Lamar Jackson, they are going to play whoever is across from them in a one-score game. That seems to be the way it's
They're
always...
They're okay with that, too. So that's why you always get that, is Harbaugh's completely fine playing one-score games.
And as a result, the idea that the Ravens, especially with a rookie QB, were going to run the table in the AFC and get all the way to the Super Bowl, despite the mythical, no team, nobody wants to play this team, which is, I think, valid. When you play every game that nip and tuck, somebody's probably going to get you.
Yeah.
And the Chargers got them.
They did.
However, I don't want to, you already know what my opinion is because I saw you like or whatever tweets that I put out on
Sunday.
I like
a lot of things that you throw out there, Dave.
I want to hear your opinion. I won't weigh in until after you speak your piece.
Okay.
Watching that game in the second quarter, at halftime, in the third quarter, would you, if you're John Harbaugh, said, like, we got to go to Flacco?
Yeah, it's a very real conversation. If we were on the sideline, you'd have a hard time saying, okay, I got a Super Bowl MVP over here, that the situation that we find ourselves in is we're behind. We haven't really been behind a lot with this Lamar Jackson kind of factor where we're going to run the football a lot, control the clock, play good defense. We aren't really made to do this, right? Now, they left him in and he came back and scored and made a game out of it, but it would have been very difficult to not put Joe Flacco in the football game. But he didn't, and John Harbaugh, you got to think about it. He's looking big picture because now if he says, okay, Joe, go ahead, and they lose anyway, which very likely would have happened because if you put Joe Flacco out there with the guys they had on the other side with the LA Chargers, I mean, they're coming. He's going to sack Flacco seven times.
All right. I've given you enough time to speak your piece. Now it's my turn. No, but that's point number one.
Yeah.
That is exactly right. If you put Joe Flacco, who hasn't played a game in a month and a half or
train
two,
wreck.
You're going to throw him out? Who do you think they're playing
in
against?
In theory, it sounds great. Like, put in a guy that can throw the ball in. A bit. No, it's not even close.
What do you think Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa would have done to him? Did you see how quick they were on?
Joe didn't want to go in the game.
Did you see how fast they were on Lamar Jackson?
Joe Flacco didn't want that game. He put his helmet on because he was cold, maybe, but he wasn't trying to get in the game. That was Lamar Jackson's.
You believe that? You think that that's true? You don't think Joe Flacco was like, hey, coach, I'm ready when you need me.
Joe knows exactly what I know. Look at that front, and you're going to tell me that I'm going to go in now down however many points I'm down. That's the worst possible scenario you can go in against a team that can rush the passer, that want to get you in a one-dimensional football game, and then get a guy that's 7 yards behind the quarterback every time. I mean, he's going to get his head knocked off.
Of course. That's point number one. to the guy who would have been standing there 7 yards deep every play was Joe Flacco. Who do you think it was? It wasn't Steve Young. Who was back there?
Like, Johnny Unitas coming off
the
bench.
Who do you think is coming into the game?
I'm with
it's
you.
It's a rusty Joe Flacco.
He hasn't thrown a ball
We don't even know if he's 100% healthy, to be fair, guy.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
And by the way, this thing, look, Joe Flacco. I said exactly what you said, which is, if you're John Harbaugh, you have used your first-round pick on Lamar Jackson. You inserted Lamar Jackson out of need when Joe Flacco got hurt.
Yep.
As it happens, because you were just about fired. You and the Ravens making the noise. The Ravens are like, we're going to part ways with John Harbaugh after the season. That was made pretty clear. Now the football gods weigh in. Now Joe Flacco is down. Well, now we got to roll with the kid here.
Yep.
Then he starts to win a little bit. And John Harbaugh, when Flacco is apparently right, says, well, now we got to stick with the kid.
Right.
Why? Because he's a first-round draft pick who has your team on a roll. With Joe Flacco in there, they would not have made the playoffs.
Oh, no way.
Now he's in there. He is struggling against a high-end defense in a big game. You yank Joe Flacco, who you know is gone. You and Joe have had questions. I've had conversations like, this is it for you. It's been a wonderful run.
They knew.
What an era, you and I. We won a Super Bowl.
But before you go, let me toss you in here against
the Chargers. I'm going to throw you into this game.
Sure.
And what if you win? And by the way, what if you win it?
Yeah.
I can't go back to Lamar Jackson next week. I got to now stay with you. Now what's that do to the kid?
Oh, my goodness.
He's our franchise. You're leaving in a couple weeks.
All of these things floated around in Harbaugh's brain.
Right?
And he did nothing, which was the exact right move.
All I got from people on Twitter, though, on Sunday was, why would he do? I said, what incentive would he possibly have
there
to yank the kid
to
put this guy in the game when you know he's not going to be on the team next year?
Winning a playoff game? Ever heard of it?
I was getting a lot of that kind of stuff.
You get a trophy after the first round? I can't remember.
Yeah,
No, you don't. No, you're going to have to play the next week, and then who's your quarterback?
And again, it's Joe Flacco. Oh, Joe Flacco's, you mean the Super Bowl MVP? Yeah, the 6 years ago, the guy who since has gone to the playoffs once and lost that playoff game. He hasn't gone to the playoffs in 3 years. Lamar Jackson just took you there. What are we talking about?
We're not even talking. It's
absurd,
it wasn't
right?
A conversation. Yeah, not at all. Shouldn't happen.
I don't want to get into the other things that people have floated as reasons why there's a quicker hook on Lamar Jackson than there might otherwise be. Because I know it's a different thing to have Joe Flacco there versus the situation in Chicago. But I didn't hear a whole lot of the same level of noise about, boy, Trubisky looks crummy. Spot's too big for this guy.
I know.
But he looked like junk.
Yeah, early on it was not good. He made some bigger throws, though, in the second half.
He did. He threw.
They spread it out a little bit. They were kind of banging their head into a wall for no reason.
Like, weren't they? But
I don't know.
I mean, because Jordan Howard didn't get a ton of touches, but when he did,
he
was making good steady hay. To me, like we've talked about forever, you and me, or at least since the preseason, is boot action. That's where Damashek's at on all things.
I love it.
He's got a QB who can move.
I didn't see Mitch outside the pocket very much. It was a lot of
He had a bad ankle. He moved fine. You could roll him out. That's
where
he would have done damage.
Like, I mean, but he was still out there. So if you're out there healthy enough to go, I've gone out with a high ankle sprain and I limp my way out there. But as soon as you get on the field, I mean, you'll figure it out tomorrow how bad it hurts. Like right now, we got to go. You know,
the one thing you could see that the Eagles did defensively, that Jim Schwartz or whomever made this call was wisely, they said, we're not going to get destroyed by the jet sweep jazz.
They had a good plan.
We're not going to get killed by that, nor are we going to get killed by Tariq Hill in space. Tariq Cohen in space.
Yeah.
We're not going to do that. All right, so then start running the ball between the tackles to set up some play action and roll the QB. That seems to me
would work. It sounds really good, actually. That's what I would have done.
I didn't get it.
But you do that on first and second down, or even what they did finally do is they said, okay, you guys, Philadelphia, that's why I don't understand. Like sometimes I think offensive coordinators overthink themselves. Like you have the Eagles who've struggled in the secondary. Like, so what? Mitch is a young quarterback. Spread the team out. Throw the ball down the field. And they did that a couple times, walked right down the field for scores. So it's sometimes they overthink what's going on.
Well, that whole the much ballyhooed RPO, a variation on that, the old school way is to roll him and get him into space and let the QB, the big physical QB, say like, I might take off with this ball and truck you.
Oh, yeah.
Or I might throw it over your head.
The guy that led the league in yards per carry? That guy?
How bad could that ankle have been? He moved fine from what I could see.
Exactly.
It didn't look like he was limping around like Aaron Rodgers in week one or something.
No, exactly. With the MCL or something. That had nothing. No, he was fine.
So that was weird. But okay. So now the Eagles move on. I think I'm with you. I just don't see the recipe for Eagle success down there.
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult because the one thing that when Mitch started having success throwing the football, it was up the seams, right? They're bringing the extra body down, and then when you bring that extra body down to stop the run, which is what Philly wanted to do, then you kind of leave yourself susceptible to like quick throws up the seam, 15, 20 yards. And Mitch hit three or four of those, and Drew Brees has made a living off of that throw. So if you think you're going to go in, play the Saints, bring that extra body down to stop Ingram and Kamara, you're going to leave yourself susceptible because those corners weren't doing a good job. They didn't have good spacing on defense to stop that throw. And I guarantee you, Drew's in there watching with the clicker right now saying, we're going to light these guys up. I'm going to throw 15 of these balls, and it's going to be 40 to nothing.
Does it make a difference that that they see Darren Sproles in practice and that somehow equips them to hand, or vice versa, the Saints defenders see Kamara?
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
we know how to take
away. You got to have a plan for him. Obviously, when either one of those guys is on the field, you got to have a plan, both in the run game and throwing the football. So as long as you do that and you assign the appropriate defender, that's the problem. When you get matched up on the wrong guy. So if you get a guy like Willie McGinnis, who Willie's a great player, but if he's guarding Darren Sproles in coverage, it's not good for them, right? So you just got to make sure you have matchup-wise the appropriate guys on those guys.
Seahawks and Cowboys, this was the other one that said whoever survives this one, it's going to be a scary team for whoever faces them. The Cowboys, I wouldn't be in love with the idea if I were the Rams of having to tackle Zeke Elliott for 60 minutes.
No, not at all.
But I like the Rams, and I find it hard to imagine that that Sean McVay, especially with an extra week, is going to get outsmarted by Jason Garrett.
I would agree with you. I think the Cowboys, they did what they had to do yesterday, obviously, win the football game. But when you go forward and you play a team like the Rams, who are going to score, they're going to score points. I mean, the Cowboys are a good defense, but they're not playing at home. They're playing on the road. It's a little bit different. The Rams, they have so many different ways that they can beat you. And I feel like the last month we've kind of just said, the Rams, I don't know. I feel like they've lost a little bit of their luster. And maybe it's because their defense struggles a little bit. And that's the one kind of hope that you have if you're a Cowboy fan is, okay, we can run the ball. The Rams kind of are terrible at stopping the run. Yeah, that's true. But it's also because teams don't run the ball when they're down 20. Right to the Rams. So statistically, you kind of get a little bit skewed there.
I kind of agree with that. Yeah. Although I have heard of that pack mentality that takes over, that when you're on a team with Aaron Donald, who's racking up big numbers, and you have some of those guys out there, that then it becomes a contest to see who can get home
first. They're loaded with a group of guys that want to get home first, right? It's not necessarily team defense with them. I mean, you got Tlaib and you got Peters. I mean, these guys are hired guns. I mean, you got these guys inside. Sue is kind of doing his own thing. He's trying, Donald's getting a lot of attention. Why don't I get attention? Well, let me get up the field and make a play. So then you get out of your run game gaps and you got some issues.
But son of bum Wade will be able to say, all right, that was a regular season ball. That's not what we're about here. We're taking
the ball away. They'll have a very specific plan.
Zeke Elliott is not going to come into the Coliseum and take away our Super Bowl dreams.
Well, that's the trick. I mean, you're going to stop Zeke, and then you're going to say, okay, now how are we going to match up with Amari Cooper? So do we put Tlaib on Cooper? Do we put Peters on him? Either way, I think the Rams are in a good position because they have two guys that you can say, okay, we're going to put Peters on Cooper, and then we're going to take Tlaib and a safety and put them on their next guy. And you kind of run out of options if you're Dak Prescott at that point because you can't run the football, can't really throw it to my guy. Those other guys have to make plays against what I think is a pretty good second corner, whether you look at Tlaib or Peters as a second corner. Regardless of the year that Peters had, he struggled a little bit. He's still a pretty good football player, so especially if he's on a second guy, I think they're just going to be just fine.
Yeah, it's the specific of who you're going to put him across.
Yeah,
I like him really on Alshon Jeffrey. I don't like him on Tyreek.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think one more thing about the Cowboys is, going forward, I didn't really buy it when everybody was talking about Tony Romo. You don't get the pressure to be the quarterback of America's team. It is the most pressure-packed position in pro sports in America. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. But I thought Romo's great. But I feel like Dak gets more heat almost than Romo does on some level. Yeah. And, you know, I've been saying it quietly this season. I know he's had some bad moments. Dak's good.
Good. No,
what's
exactly.
The beef with Dak?
Well, everyone wants to be like, are they the worst ever or are they the greatest ever? Well, guess what? Dak's not going to be Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. Like, he's not going to be that player. Maybe he'll develop into that. But right now, he beat Russ. You know, and he's where Russell Wilson was like 4 or 5 years ago, maybe even longer. And a guy that can utilize his feet in the run game, make some plays, make some throws down the field. You get him Amari Cooper, who I think has helped out. It's kind of helped disperse that whole depth chart thing. So Amari's over here. Now these other guys can make some plays. And they're on favorable matchups with corners now because everyone's got to pay attention to what Cooper's doing. Maybe now Gallup has and Beasley have favorable matchups. They're not drawing number one corners. And then suddenly Dak is better. So I think that all he's really had to do is be consistent, you know. And so over the last, you know, 5 or 6 weeks, we've seen it be better.
Yeah, the premise at this point for the Cowboys is not, hey, Dak, either you do it or we're not.
It's not about Dak, though.
It's not about that.
No, it really is. It's about him making a couple throws at the end of the game.
You mentioned it, so now I want to say. You say he's not Brady or whoever else you say. Yeah. Brady or Rodgers are probably the two that people hold on. He's not Brady or Reed Brees or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
I have to take a quick detour about this. You are one of those high-end, like, people all know who David Carr is, 21st century NFL QB, gets the pressure, gets the guy. David Carr is sort of, to me, is the martyr of... He's what I really do think. Like,
hey, you are. You, I know exactly where you're
you
going.
Are. The personification of that guy, like, yeah. That guy is a bust.
Yeah,
because like,
if
what
you
was
don't
I
take
to
care
do?
Of this guy, you'll end up like
do?
Exactly. I'm like, guys, we all see it when you get knocked around. It's hard to play quarterback. It's hard to play quarterback. Just look at Andrew Luck when he got sacked 60 times. I mean, they were I don't know. And the next year, you get sacked 17 times. And then look at Andrew Luck looks pretty good, right? Deshaun Watson is going to be a good quarterback. But I mean, that's my old team. You have to get some offense. Like, you can't trade away your best tackle to the Seattle Seahawks because maybe he has some different political opinions. And now look at where you're at. Mm-hmm. You got a really good quarterback and a good wide receiver.
Is that public knowledge?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like that's what happened. But
I
whatever.
I think that if you read the tea leaves, that's exactly what.
Yeah, but
Wayne
I mean,
Brown
yeah.
had a different political posture than the owner did at the time, and
yeah.
and they dealt them away.
You know,
right.
and now you're making.
I think
you suffer for it.
Think about that.
Oh,
think about how politics ultimately really did. Anyhow, that's an interesting detour. I also want to talk about in the off season because I can see Eddie Spaghetti back there. He's getting anxious to bring in the 10-foot pole. He wants to.
I'm curious
to
meet
10-foot pole action.
Yeah.
I do want to talk in the off season. I mean, it's a lot. We talk always, is that guy really worth $30 million? Is he really worth taking up that amount of your cap space
yeah.
and everything else? But almost all those guys, none of them can move. And it's like, yeah. well, he's such a surgeon back there. He'll just pick you apart. At this point now, it really is, when I watch games, like, how can you get by with a quarterback who can't move at all? It's weird that you can overcome.
I'm with you.
That you can be so stationary.
Yeah.
And
you have to be such a Jedi. Like at the quarterback position, you have to be at the level that Brady's at to where you can diagnose the defense. You get yourself into the perfect play. And then I know this is going to be, at least I know I'm going to be in the right play. Maybe he doesn't catch it. Maybe my throw is a little bit off. Maybe someone breaks down in protection, but the majority of the time I'm going to be in a perfect play for this opportunity. Otherwise you have to have a guy like Russ that can, this isn't the perfect play. I got to buy some time, move around, make something happen. You have to have that.
It really is funny because it's such a weird arrow to be missing from your QB quiver and still succeed. And yet
some of the slowest athletes of all time play quarterback.
That is right. And I said that on this week's Sheck Report, David Carr.
It's the truth.
Phil Rivers.
He is so
Peyton
slow.
Manning and Tom Brady, three of the all-time greats at what is easily America's most popular sport.
Yeah.
Dave Damashek and beating a foot race.
I would take you.
That ain't right. That's something wrong with that.
I agree. I don't know why. Maybe it's because they're 6'5 and they're huge and too much power. You know, God only gives you a certain amount of attributes. And a lot of theirs went to their brain, right? And their physical
appearance. But they'd say,
but no speed. Zero.
I hereby challenge you, Phil Rivers, you, Peyton Manning, and you, Tom Brady, to a foot race.
I'd love to see it.
You can make the distance, as long as it's not a long distance, because I'll just like...
They won't go over 60 yards.
You don't think
no
so?
Way.
Oh, their then I got that easy. Like, if it gets to like a quarter mile, I'll be like, oh, I won't make it.
I can pretty much guarantee Philip Rivers has never run over. He's never run a mile. Not since fifth grade.
In his life. In his adult life.
Never.
I want to talk about this, though. Okay. Everybody, because I have to go back and people say, oh, you'll love to talk about the Steelers. I'm sorry. The melodrama in Pittsburgh is fascinating.
Still one of the bigger stories, even though they haven't been in the game.
Let's just get through this. Let's just you know, tell me if this is myth or reality.
Okay.
Roethlisberger, says Ryan Clark, who, by the way, was in the locker room for a long time with Big Ben Roethlisberger, so I think he knows who he is.
Yeah.
Ryan Clark made it quite clear. Teammate of Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger, player for Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
Goes through it, basically says, if you read between the lines, we're pretty clear.
Yeah.
No one is free of some guilt in this situation.
I would agree.
A lot of people picking at scabs, and
sure.
That's not the way you got to handle AB, who has a certain mindset. You got to treat him differently, all that kind of stuff. Mike Tomlin should have been a little bit tougher. Ben Roethlisberger, leader, should have led the locker room differently. On the planet Earth, Ben Roethlisberger is just not imbued with the leading man, John Wayne, follow me, and a kind of thing. But my pushback on that is, in reality, not I'm not talking about the 2 minute little bios that we see in pregames and stuff. Who is that guy? Who is that guy? Brett Favre? Everybody in the locker room loves him. He's a scamp in the locker. He's so fun to hang out with. But when it's game time, we follow him because we knew he. Who is that guy in the 21st century?
When you look at it, even like say like Peyton Manning,
Peyton Manning's a terrible example.
That's what I'm saying. Well, no, I was going to say that I don't think that even people like playing with Peyton Manning.
Of course not. And by the way,
guys that didn't like playing with
me too. And Antonio Brown and the offensive line after they lost, he pointed at the offense.
Right.
The cardinal sin of an NFL quarterback. You can't blame anybody else. I heard Peyton do
he
it.
He did it.
I heard him get into stuff with Vanderjagt. I heard him say the offensive line didn't have its best day after a playoff game.
Yeah.
Tom Brady. Well, he's the gold standard, right? Everybody loves him. Yeah, I've never heard somebody say bad about it. Have you heard anybody?
Not bad about Tom, no.
But for the record, I will say this. He saw Jimmy Garoppolo get traded away. He didn't like the kid behind him. So what's worse?
What is worse? That's a good question.
He had him traded away.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the guy.
Bad.
That's the gold standard. Two, okay, he never threw any teammates under the bus, but his wife did after the Super Bowl.
You can't control what your wife says.
Fine. I'm just making it. No one's clean is my point.
Yeah,
this idea that why can't Ben Roethlisberger be more like somebody in a movie? Because in real life, that guy isn't there. Drew Brees, Russell Wilson.
I don't know. Drew's pretty good. It's hard to find someone to say bad things about Drew. Go ahead.
I'm not going to say I don't know. I'm just saying what I know.
No, but I'm
telling
you
what I've heard.
There aren't that many, and I don't think
Russell Wilson. I mean, who is that guy? I guess I haven't heard people badmouth Andrew Luck.
Maybe.
You have?
No, I have. I'm trying to think.
I'm just saying, who is it? Is Phil Rivers? Is he universally beloved?
I think so.
He may be
it.
Okay, but the point is this thing of like
one guy. So there's one we can find. One.
These people who are pounding the table. Ben Roethlisberger, say whatever you want about the way he comports himself. Okay, maybe he shouldn't go on the air and say the things
he
says.
Yeah, there are things that a lot of quarterbacks probably shouldn't
completely
say.
Agree with that.
But, I mean, come on.
I hear that noise. But just for the record, this is directed at any Steelers fan who says, time to dump that old guy.
Oh, that's not. And I'm not even.
Watch the 2018 season. He thought Le'Veon Bell was going to be in there. Okay, the wishy-washy, we don't care about him. And then after the season, that was a distraction not having him. Okay, that's wishy-washy. But so what? I mean, in the meantime, he carried this team that had James Conner and then Jalen Samuels.
This is
the team that had a defense that didn't show up for the first half of the season.
I get a lot of heat from your Steeler nation for not putting Ben in my top whatever.
Yes, you did.
So that happens, right? But I still think that Ben is probably your best player. I mean, that's even on top of Antonio and Juju and all these guys because, like you said, he was in a situation this year where I mean, a lot of quarterbacks would have went and not had a great year. And he still found ways to make it happen. He makes big-time throws. I was in Ben's first game in the preseason way back Houston Texans days in Pittsburgh. And I saw him come in, and he looked like a guy that you don't usually see. Big body, can do everything, right? So I don't buy that stuff. I mean, there's guys with some personality traits that would you would probably choose different ones for them that play quarterback in this league.
That's right. Oh, and by the way, here's another guy. Aaron Rodgers is not this mythical leader of men. He's a quiet guy. He's got a wry
like Aaron.
He's got a wry sense of humor. It doesn't jibe with every guy on the Packers roster over the years. It doesn't mean that he's still
doesn't jibe with his own family sometimes.
I've heard about that as well. Anyway, that's that point I wish to make. And the other point I would like to make is that it's funny that the national guys seem to say it's all Big Ben's fault. And then the local guys in Pittsburgh are all saying it's Antonio Brown's fault. Now, I can see the argument from both sides.
Yeah.
Like, well, I've heard enough about Roethlisberger over the years, and it's a consistent thing that he's involved in these personality conflicts and everything. But everybody, the boots on the ground will tell you over the last couple of years that the 84 business has overwhelmed the Steelers' business with practice time, what goes on in practice, yep. the gaggle that he brings with him to shoot social videos, sure. Everything else is a distraction.
I would
and
say,
then no showing on the game. He didn't like that Roethlisberger yelled at him in practice. Like, right. All right, well, like I wouldn't like that either, but I would still show up.
Yeah, because now you're messing with everyone else's opportunity to further themselves or their team. You only get one shot at this thing. Like I heard what Ryan Clark said. Ryan Clark was on it. Like he's on it. Everyone's to blame here, right? So Ben has his personality issues. There are things that he needs to improve on, and maybe he'll never improve on those things. Maybe he's always going to say
he's a 37-year-old man. That's suddenly going to change.
Yeah. So that's what he's going to do. You got him, right? But not showing up for the game. And Antonio's got some. Look, Juju Smith-Schuster gets MVP. Antonio starts having these little.
People will tell you that the timing of that doesn't work.
Yeah, but
work
I mean,
out.
Still, like before he was voted MVP, he was still seen as their number one receiver. You just watch
fair.
Film.
Yeah, that's right.
If you watch film, you see that Juju is getting the opportunities. Antonio is over here. And Antonio sees that. Antonio saw that. Who knows? A year ago. So that's
just bottom
one wide
line
receiver
is
stuff.
It's petulant stuff. And I'm not saying anybody is free of that charge, but it's petulant stuff. If you are this superstar wide receiver, you're on the cover of the Madden game and all that kind of stuff. To be like, why's the other guy getting so much attention?
I would agree. But
now he's the hero. It's like, yeah, I get it. You're getting doubled constantly. That safety is never going away from your side of the field,
right.
And that's what's making the opportunity. All right.
Yeah.
You said, but
it's all right.
You're still eating, as they say.
Yeah,
you're still over 100.
Business is still good.
You're still over 100. Yeah, it's still booming. You went up over 100. You still led the league in touchdown receptions. It ain't that bad.
But
man.
I've been around five or six guys that play his position. Excuse me. That are that way. And if they are not the guy, who cares what their numbers are? He thinks he should have had 25 touchdowns this year. I guarantee Antonio thinks I should have 20 touchdowns this year based on who I am as a player. So they're never going to be content.
And
that's
you know
why
what?
You love them. That's why you love those guys.
That's right. And
I want that guy on my team.
And in Antonio Brown's defense, it is interesting how that target moves around. Now, not excusing no showing because that goes too far. Obviously, you got to show up for the big games.
He messed up. Yep.
That's bad.
Yep.
However, this like, oh, he's selfish. He wants the ball all the time. You know who else did? Jerry Rice,
who
after they won the Super Bowl, complained in the locker room and was down in the dumps.
Yeah. Who doesn't? Like, what great receiver have I ever been around that didn't want the ball?
You just stole
None.
The Super Bowl from the Bengals, Jerry Rice. Literally, be happy, man. You just were the key figure in that exhilarating drive.
I would argue that's the one quality I want with a wide receiver.
All right, like,
are you the guy that wants the
can
ball?
Can I tell you another one?
Yeah.
Walter Payton. How about Walter Payton? He finally gets over the hump. He finally wins a Super Bowl. And he didn't get I was miffed for him. I was a little kid watching it, and I knew enough to say, like, Mike Ditka, you gave the ball to the fridge over Sweetness? That's crazy. Nevertheless, you just won the Super Bowl, and he was PO'd. Yeah. That slight overwhelmed the joy that should have filled his heart that day. Yes, professional athletes, once again, a reminder, are selfish guys.
Absolutely.
Yes, they are me guys. You want me guys.
100%. Do you not
you
watch?
You don't want a guy who, like, in the fourth quarter, like,
I don't know
can
if
you
I want
do
it?
It?
Let Juju do
I
it.
Don't want it.
Let Juju do it. Throw it to him.
Throw it over there because I don't know if I'll catch it.
Absolutely right.
Right?
100%.
All right. Do we want to do the 10-foot pole, or are you done, MVP?
Let's do it so long as David can do it.
Let's do it.
All right. Just so he can experience.
Yeah,
he's never done the 10-foot pole, so let's do it. We talked about Dak already. We can leave him alone. Philly boy. All right. Let's. You know what? I have an idea. Here's what we'll do with the 10-foot pole. Now, David Carr, you're a newcomer to it. I can't believe it after all this time.
I saw it when I walked in.
There's a figurative 10-foot pole that people always so courageously announce, I won't touch that.
Right.
I go the extra mile. I have a literal 10-foot pole. I want to see if you'll touch this. You know what? I'm just going to cut right to the chase here. I love him. America loves him. Old man Rivers. His team's on a roll. Big victory in Charm City. Just an hors d'oeuvre, though. Now he heads to Foxborough.
Ooh, it's going to be cold.
To play Tom Brady and apparently, I know, the football gods again with Tom Brady. What deal was made?
It was amazing.
Now it's going to snow on the team coming in from L.A.?
Incredible.
Poor Phil Rivers.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Yeah, all right.
I'm going to make a statement.
Okay.
If you agree with it, you touch it with that 10-foot ball.
Got it. Okay.
Phil Rivers, 0-7 against number 12 in the New England Patriots over the course of his career. Now two wins away from his first trip to a Super Bowl. And by the way, I'm sure he'd enjoy it even a little bit more because it's in Georgia. That's relatively close to,
sure. Oh, that's
to
right.
his childhood home. Even more exciting for what little that might be worth. Either way, number 17 will go up to Foxborough, and he will vanquish the 21st century dynasty. Will you touch that with a 10-foot pole?
I will.
He touched it, everybody. You touched it. Really? You're riding with Phil.
I'm riding with Phil because I think that his team is, I think, is the best team that he's had, the best shot that he's had.
At least in a decade. At least in a decade.
Right, at least. So, and I think it sets up, I need that defense, man. I've seen this happen where the only chance you have against Tom Brady is rushing for and getting pressure on him. It's been like that for two decades.
Yep.
And the Chargers have that.
That's
it.
Precisely right. That's a practice. And by the way, who is out there? But you have people said, oh, because I was doing that NFL Films top 100 list week in and week out. And Derwin James, yes, a little bit of self-validation. I said before the season, you watch. That's the best player in the draft. Watch this guy go up. Right. He consistently kept proving me right, and he is a dominant player even in his rookie season.
He does so much for them. And then last week, so he's playing against the Ravens. He's at the line of scrimmage playing safety on the line of scrimmage, basically linebacker,
right,
running him down first play of the game, -1 yard. I mean, so, and now next week he's going to be all over the
place. That's my X factor of that game is Derwin James.
Cover
because
Gronk.
Well, they're going to try to, but and they're also going to try to feed Sony Michel.
Run,
so how he
Michel.
Reacts to that,
yeah,
is because right, he's also going to have some 87
Gronk duty.
But then also Casey Hayward, who's whipping him?
Yeah,
Julian Edelman.
Nope.
Come on. Next one and last one for you, Andrew Luck. Another nice story. Nobody knew 4 months ago if he was going to ever look the same.
He's throwing a Nerf ball. He could barely throw a Nerf ball.
Now he looks terrific. I'm sorry. I'm sure. Did that bother you? Do you not care when the Texans lose?
I don't care.
You don't care.
I probably would prefer that they lose.
You prefer it?
I mean, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. Deshaun's a big hero.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, when I pick games, when I look at it, I can look at it because it's been so long ago. I can look at it kind of objectively and just, oh, yeah. Okay, they'll win the game or they won't win the game. I don't have, animosity towards them, but, I mean, there's a little bit of that.
What they had when you were playing that you had over the current team is that you wore those red socks with the blue pants. That looked good.
I love that you
But
remember.
When they wear the blue socks with the blue pants, it looks like a unitard.
Looks like they're missing something.
Yeah, it looks like they're wearing jazzercise pants.
I don't really like it. We used to wear, we had an all-red uniform that I kind of liked.
No, now you go too far. That was a
We wore on Christmas Eve. We beat the Colts on Christmas Eve.
That is one of the all-time worst uniforms I've ever seen.
Well, we won a lot of games in those uniforms.
You didn't win a lot. You won a lot.
Okay, we won two or three.
Felt like a lot. Now we have Andy Luck here with his beard. He's going to Arrowhead Stadium. Can they vanquish the phenom of 2018?
It's going to be...
I'm going to make the statement. Andrew Luck will go to Arrowhead and leave Arrowhead with a victory and perhaps some barbecue sauce in his beard.
Oh, my goodness. I'm touching it.
What?
I'm touching it. I'm
the Colts are going to beat the mighty Chiefs?
I'm taking it. And I really... The only... You want to hold this pole? Okay.
I'll hold it.
That's cool, though. I like that you got the helmet stickers on here, too. Are they helmet stickers or just little stickers?
I don't know what they are.
They're close. I don't know why I touched that. Pat Mahomes is really good. I don't want to give him a chance because they're like one of those teams that are, they're improving. They're kind of going up and they don't have any weaknesses. Like, I don't see their team and say, yeah, they're bad here. Like, with Kansas City, they have a pretty bad defense, right? And usually those teams don't make it all the way. These teams make it all the way every year. Like, where's the hole? They're fast on defense. They can run with the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know. I mean, I think the Colts can do whatever they want up front. They could shorten this game. They could hand the ball off. They could run the ball up and down the field, give Pat 8 possessions, and they never, I don't know.
I am amazed. My final thought on that game and in general is that a couple of things I've learned from players in the postseason, and Brian Billick just said it to me, coach of the Ravens, of course, last week reminded me of this. He said that the hitting gets way worse in the playoffs.
He said
it is. I'm like, that can't be true. I mean, playing football games, like, what, do we take something off in October?
They take it off in October a little bit. They're like, I don't want to have to sit in this ice tub all day.
That's really true.
So that's interesting.
The other thing that is true, I don't care if football players have agreed with me on this too many times for me to now back off. The curse of Sposta is real. When you're the team that's supposed to win a game,
I like that.
Boy, that pressure at home and where it gets you is not on the road. Yeah, nobody's cheering for you there. But now you're letting people down. You're letting
at home.
You're letting 70,000 people. And by the way, if you are the Chiefs, if you're the Chiefs and you're a season ticket holder for the last 30 years in KC, walking into that stadium, forget walking right now. You're wherever you are right now, you're thinking like, oh, come on, please.
Especially
it's been such a fun year. Please at least win a playoff
one
game.
One playoff game.
Like, come on, we're not going to lose to the sixth seed, are we?
It's the hottest team in the league.
And that is in their heads. Like,
that's what they get.
But they're playing. They're already talking like, hey, the Colts are not playing like a sixth seed. And they have Andrew Luck.
Oh, yeah, that's all they're getting.
But they know deep down. They know deep down that they're a sixth seed and they're the home team. And this is what they've worked towards. And this is as good a spot as they could hope for in the divisional round. And yet they know it's not good enough. It's not going to be good enough for the people in those stands. And if the Colts do what they did in Houston last week, and if they get up early, that crowd will be such a deficit to Patrick Mahomes and company.
Those demons are real, man.
Right?
That stuff's real. For every fan base, that stuff's real. And especially for the Chiefs. The Chiefs have been that team, really, that have been explosive and fun, and then they, what happened in the playoffs?
Chiefs will win, though, because Andy Reid has 2 weeks. He will script out a fancy
he'll have a nice
few
package.
Things at the top of the game.
It's going to be a lot for the Colts to handle that first 20 plays or so. There's going to be guys coming from everywhere.
I said this last week about Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky. Trubisky is at his best coming out of the gate when Nagy has something special in store, and they score in the first possession or two. Mm-hmm. That's when the Bears' formula works best, especially because of their pass rush.
Yep.
But with the Chiefs, also true, when Patrick Mahomes jumps you and you don't know what just happened, it's 14-0. If that's not the case, I thought it watching the Eagles game yesterday. This Eagles team is a little flawed, so who knows what'll happen. But this isn't a good spot for the Bears to be 3-3 and 6-3 and all that jazz. You wanted, if you're the Bears, ideally.
Yeah, because momentum's going to shift. I mean, the
I know
pressure,
every team wants to be ahead
pressure,
in the game. But
the pressure at the end of the game is going to be so high on the team that's supposed to win. It's going to be incredibly high at home. You would think that in Kansas City, in a tight game in the fourth quarter, it's going to be loud for Andrew Luck. No, they're sitting there thinking, we're about to lose to the Colts.
Please don't lose this game. You do not want Mahomes running out there like, hey, Cub, I got to do it for these people.
No, no.
You want it to be, if it's not like 10-0 at the end of the first quarter.
I'm with you on that.
Get nervous, Chiefs fans. That's how I feel about
extremely
it.
Nervous.
All right, that's it. Eddie Spaghetti just whispered in my ear, rap already, would you? Where do you have to go, Spaghetti?
It's not me. It might be David. Might have obligations.
Yeah.
Oh, you have to go.
I got to put a suit on and pretend like I'm talking football, probably.
Okay. I mean, I thought we were having a nice time.
I was fine, Eddie.
We didn't even get to hammer out the details of our Antonio Brown for a first round, or perhaps multiple first round picks.
I mean,
if I had his face here, real quick.
Yeah.
If I had his face here, let's pretend that. Okay. Just imagine Antonio Brown's face right here.
Okay. I bet you could put it on.
I look kind of like him, so you could just make it my face. But let's say Antonio Brown's. Antonio Brown wears the Pittsburgh Steelers uniform in September of 2019. Will you touch that with a 10-foot pole?
There's no way.
No way? Really?
I think he's going to want out.
I think the bad thing is, you call a meeting and say, hey, Tomlin,
a meeting first.
Roethlisberger, Antonio, let's all sit 100% down and settle this hash. Except for the fact that what guarantee could you possibly place on Antonio Brown to say, one thing we can't have is you not showing up for a big game. Like, if you're afraid of that, that is too disruptive. You cannot go forward with that.
You can't. That's why I think the guy didn't show up for a football game. I mean, he clearly doesn't want to be there.
But I also think 2 months. I also think that most people, when you're watching the playoffs, I know as a Steelers fan watching those games, I was thinking, you mean to tell me the Steelers couldn't beat these teams? Of course they could knock off.
I said it. Like I think I told you maybe last week is if the Steelers were in this, they would be my favorite.
They would AFC. Be right. That's what is terrible about it.
Yeah.
But as you get away from any big moment, dramatic moment, it starts to chill a little bit and you start to, all right, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown is beneficial to Roethlisberger and vice versa, and Antonio Brown is ultimately good for the Steelers with his deeds. Unless the asterisk is he is potentially not going to show up to games.
Right.
Then I don't know how you resolve that. I could see 2 months from now as being like, all right, so they're going to work it out. They're going to be together.
You would think so.
But also, if you're like, if Mike Tomlin is like, I just can't have a guy on the team, I don't know if he's going
to
be here.
I don't even know if it stops at Mike Tomlin. I think it goes all the way up to the ownership. I think the Rooney family is going to say, we can't have this.
Okay, so that,
that's where I think it goes.
So that returns me to where we were a little while ago. The next time we sit, we don't get up from the negotiating table until we have hammered all the details.
We'll make it happen. We can make it happen for Mayock and those guys right now.
Perfect. Well, you know what? That's what we need to do. We'll get Mayock on the line, Gruden, we'll get Kevin Colbert. We'll all work this thing out. All right. Okay. Great stuff in the meantime, as always, from number 8 there, David Carr. We'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce later on in the week for you. I don't know. I think maybe we could even get 3 out of this week. I don't know. Let's see what Emma VP thinks.
Maybe. You never know.
I like that optimism.
Right? That's a tease.
She said, there's no way. I'm going home.
No, I felt like, I want to build the suspense. Yeah, you don't know what's going to happen. You never know. MVP may call for a third one. The only way to know for sure is to subscribe to the DDFP. We'll talk to you later on. Till then, it's been a thin slice of heaven.